Good evening. This is Reverend Janet Friedline from the Divine Science Church of the Healing Christ, Washington, D.C. I would like to welcome all of you to your Christmas Eve service. At this time, Mr. Reginald Boitnight will lead us in singing one verse each of four Christmas carols. Readings are from the books of Matthew and Luke from various translations of the Bible. This is the story of the birth of the Messiah. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth with a message for a girl betrothed to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The girl's name was Mary. The angel went in and said to her, "Greetings, most favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by what he said and wondered what this greeting might mean. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for he has been gracious to you. You shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will bear the title Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will be king over Israel forever. His reign shall never end." And so prior to the marriage, Mary found that she was with child by the Holy Spirit. Being a man of principle, and at the same time wanting to save her from exposure, Joseph desired to have the marriage contract set aside quietly. He had resolved on this when an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," said the angel, "do not be afraid to make or take Mary home with you as your wife. It is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived this child. She will bear a son, and you shall call him the name Jesus, Savior, for he will save his people from their sins." All this happened in order to fulfill what the Lord declared through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, a name which means God is with us." Rising from sleep, Joseph did as the angel had directed him. He took Mary home to be his wife. Reggie will now sing "Sister Mary Had But One Child" by Roland Hayes.
Sister Mary had but one child, born in Bethlehem, and every time the little baby cried, she'd rock and reel a weary land. She'd rock and reel a weary land.
About this time, Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, decreed that a census should be taken throughout the nation. This census was when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Everyone was required to return to his ancestral home for this registration. And because Joseph was a member of the royal line, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, King David's ancient home, journeying there from the Galilean village of Nazareth. He took with him Mary, who was great with child. And when they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. And she gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the village inn. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel appeared among them, and the landscape shone bright with the glory of the Lord. They were badly frightened. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you the most joyful news ever announced, and it is for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem. How will you recognize him? You will find a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. "Glory in the highest heaven," they sang, "and peace on earth for all." When the great army of angels had returned again to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Come, let us go to Bethlehem. Let us see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They ran to the village, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph, and there was that baby lying in the manger. The shepherds told everyone what had happened, what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story expressed astonishment. But Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and often thought about them. Then the shepherds went back again to their fields and flocks, praising God for the visit of the angels and because they had seen the child just as the angels had told them. Let us listen as Reggie sings "O Holy Night" by Adolphe Adam. Oh. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, there came magi from the east to Jerusalem, and they were saying, "Where is the king of the Jews who has been born? For we have seen the star in the east, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed by their questions, and all Jerusalem with him. He called a meeting of the Jewish religious leaders. "Did the prophets tell us where the Messiah would be born?" they asked. "Yes, in Bethlehem," they said, "for this is what the prophet Michael wrote. O little town of Bethlehem, you are not just an unimportant Judean village, for a governor shall rise from you to rule my people Israel." Then Herod sent a message to the Magi and told them to go to Bethlehem and search for the child. "Go and inquire very carefully concerning the boy, and when you have found him, come back and let me know, so that I also may go and worship him." When the Magi had heard from King Herod, they went away. And behold, that same star they had seen in the east was going before them, until it came and stood just above the place where the infant boy was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly. And they entered the house and saw the infant boy with Mary his mother. And they threw themselves down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and offered to him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they were told in a dream not to return to Herod, so they departed to their own country by another way. Reggie will now sing "The Most Wonderful Birthday of All" by Carl Davis.
What a baby was born, what a
There are a few announcements this evening. The church building remains closed indefinitely. We continue the Sunday morning worship service via the telephone conference call. Next Sunday, December 27, Reverend Wayne Gatewood will be our speaker. His topic is Peace, Be Still. I hope you can join us on Sunday. If you wish to receive prayer or counseling, the minister's telephone numbers are included in the monthly newsletter, or you may leave a message on the church line at 202-333-7630. We will return your call. The church prayer line is available for you at all times, and that number is 202-338-1240. The Tuesday evening prayer and study group meets at 6:30 p.m. via the telephone conference call. You may join the group by dialing the number you used for this evening's service. We are discussing the book, The Sermon on the Mount by Emmett Fox. All of you are welcome to attend. If you would like to receive a statement of your tithes and contributions for the tax year 2020, you may request one by leaving a message on the church line or by emailing the church at dschurchdc@aol.com. You may continue to send tithes and donations to the church or donate through PayPal. Two Divine Science classes will begin in January. They are Spiritual Psychology, taught by Reverend Donna Gatewood, and Bible Mystery, Bible Meaning, Old Testament, taught by Mr. Gene Paula Castri. If you wish to attend classes either for credit or as an auditor, you may either leave a message on the church line or email the church. The teacher will contact you concerning the date and the time of the class. Let us listen as Reggie sings I Wish You Christmas by John Ritter.
The morning light.
will now begin this evening's lesson. I will discuss the mission of Christ. Tomorrow we will celebrate the birth of a baby. This particular baby was born many years ago in the village of Bethlehem. The child's name was Jesus. Some refer to him as the promised Messiah. Now the people had expected a Messiah. The prophets in the Old Testament spoke of such a birth. In the book of Isaiah we read, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a child is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." At the actual time of the birth, angels heralded the news, and we read that shepherds left their fields to search for the child. Then there were those wise men, the ones who journeyed from afar to pay homage and bring gifts. Clearly there was something special about this birth, but exactly what was it? What was it about the Messiah? And more importantly, what does the Messiah of that time have to do with us today? We are not celebrating the birth of a biological member of our immediate family. What was so special about that infant of long ago that allows us to this day, together with family and friends, to celebrate his arrival? Why do we do this? Embodied in the baby Jesus was knowledge of Christ, the spiritual self, the true name and nature of every man and every woman. This indwelling identity is the only begotten child of God. Christ reveals, "The Father and I are one." Conscious knowledge of the birth of Christ in us is the cause of celebration. Leonard Jacobson, in his book, Words from Silence, describes it this way. Christ is a state of consciousness, not an individual. Jesus was an individual who had awakened to that state of consciousness. The angels, the shepherds, and the wise men, they all understood this distinction. They announced, heralded, and paid homage to the birth of Christ in individual consciousness. Jesus awakened us to the presence of God, the Christ in us. He came into the world to show us how to live from our spiritual nature. Remember, we are not just talking about Jesus as Christ. His mission was to preach the gospel of truth. The truth that man is not the one of human form, but rather he is Christ, the only begotten child of God. Tomorrow when we gather with family and friends, our Christmas story is the dawning in our consciousness that there is something in us and that it is greater than that which is in the world. So now we know that this long-awaited birth is actually an activity that takes place in us. Jesus is Christ revealed, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am the meat and the peace the world knows not of." Jesus completed his mission. He was our way shower. He finished what he was sent to do. He set up a ministry that exists to this day. This was his only responsibility, to live the truth that he knew and to tell others that they could do the same. It is now up to us to determine what to do with this information. What are we going to do with Christ that resides in us? I mean, in addition to gathering with family and friends to celebrate its arrival, just what is the meaning and the purpose of its presence? Jesus' mission was to tell us of Christ. But what is the mission of Christ? Exactly what does conscious knowledge of Christ do for us? Perhaps the question is, what are we to do with it? Well, as with the birth of anything, it is new, and we have not yet learned how to handle it. How do we handle this new idea established in us? Just like the new parents who welcome their first child, they are so glad it is here. And they are certain that its presence will change their lives in a variety of ways. And how right they are. Still, they are a little apprehensive. So it is with us. We welcome the conscious awareness of Christ, and we are certain it will change our lives in a variety of ways. Still, we are a little apprehensive. What did Mary and Joseph do with the baby that came into their lives? This new idea embodied in their son was not welcome in the world, and there were those who sought to do him harm. The message of truth was not pleasing to certain members of the establishment, to the government, or to particular learned individuals of the temple. They were not thrilled with a Messiah who would save the people. The feeling was that to save the people meant doing away with the established doctrine, the social order of the day. They were not interested in having this individual come into their presence, changing their lives in a variety of ways. They were very apprehensive. Christ threatened their very belief system. This new person might even try to overthrow the government. After all, there was a rumor about a kingdom. The prophet spoke of a kingdom. Surely this meant that when Jesus grew up, he would declare himself a king, attempting to rule over them. Therefore, they sought to do him harm. We might describe it in today's language as not liking the message, so let's kill the messenger. Clearly, some individuals understood that this baby had the potential to stir up trouble, so it was best to get rid of him now. God warned Joseph in a dream to take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt and to stay there until they received word it was safe to return. Joseph did so that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Now, metaphysically, Egypt represents the state of material consciousness. It is awareness of sense thoughts. It is there that we do our work, where we make preparation. Now, there are some who would prefer to skip this journey into Egypt. But you see, the physical and mental aspects of us must learn to be obedient and subservient to the spiritual idea. The spiritual idea must journey down into Egypt, introducing it to material awareness, in order for us to come out from that awareness, in order for us to know there is something higher and finer than sense awareness. We are familiar with the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph went down into Egypt, and he toiled there, preparing the storehouses, filling them with what would be needed when other men had exhausted their resources. The Egypt experience was a time of preparation. In the case of Joseph, he was preparing the fulfillment that would rule in the time of famine. We must willingly let the higher thought, the Christ idea, go consciously down into Egypt and rule there so that we may receive spiritual food. Now, in due time, in the Egyptian experience, when the Christ idea has taken root, when Christ is sufficiently revealed, we as individuals awaken from the sense of the material. We awaken from the dream of mortality, and we leave Egypt forever. By then, Christ in us is strong enough to weather any storm the world will toss its way. We are no longer concerned with the Herods of the world, for they cannot touch Christ. When the preparation is complete, there is just one thing left to do. It is now time to discover the mission of Christ. Just what is the ministry of Christ? What is its function? And what is its purpose? Remember, Christ is a state of consciousness, not an individual. When that becomes our place of habitation, then that becomes our way of life. Christ ministers in us. Healing is an activity of his ministry. His ministry is the source of food, housing, and transportation. It comforts those who mourn. It restores what was taken away. It is the mission of Christ to go before us, making every crooked place straight. And when we feel his presence, we have the peace that he left with us. Being conscious of his presence bears witness to the Christ functioning as us. Now, it really is not so important what we call the indwelling presence, but rather that we know it is functioning as us. Some individuals prefer to call it the child of God, Christ, or the greater I am. Others simply call it the spiritual identity. Some identify it in this way. I have meat. I have abundant life. I have peace. Sometimes I will simply say, God is. I am. And that puts me where I want to be. My point is, it does not matter what we call it. Words are not important. What does matter is that we know it functions in us and as us. Always Christ gives acknowledgement, and not the words that attempt to name it or define it. When we say, I have meat, we mean we have sustenance capable of giving us the fullness of life. It is not necessary to concern ourselves with how it will do this or how it will spring forth into manifestation. Nor do we ask how we're going to pay the rent, or how it will produce a healthy heart or liver. Do not ask how it will provide companionship or the perfect job. It is the responsibility of the divine sustenance to meet the need and not ours. Remember, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It is the Lord that does the fulfilling, not us. It is the mission of Christ to function as us, so that God may be glorified. God does not send us into this world to fend for ourselves or to eke out a living in less than a desirable way. God did not send us into this world to demonstrate a diseased body, empty wallets, or broken hearts. Where is the glory in that? I consulted the dictionary, and this is what Webster has to say about glory. He tells us that glory is what is worthy of praise, honor, and distinction. The aspect of us that is worthy of praise, honor, and distinction is Christ. When we know us by that name, we glorify him that sent us. Now, if we are still living from the sense side of life, there really is no reason to glory. It means that Christ has not yet been born in our awareness. Christ does not yet rule in our house of consciousness. It just means that the time of preparation is not yet complete. We still have work to do. When we take Christ into our Egypt experience, it grows up in us. When this happens, we align ourselves with the new idea. It is then that the old ways, the old thoughts and habits pass away. We come out of the dream state and enter the new reality. This blessed evening, let us enter our closet, shut the door to the senses, and await the holy birth. It is every man's and every woman's destiny to do so. Jesus showed us the way. He entered our Father's house again and again. He lived what he knew to be true, and his life bore witness to his visits to his Father's house. On this Christmas Eve, we prepare to receive the good news. I have come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundant. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In the stillness of this moment, let us rest in the expectancy of the holy birth. It comes as a light to the weary soul with the promise, I will never leave you. As I prepare for this blessed event, I understand that I must nurture and care for this idea born in me. I let it take root so that it may grow and unfold in knowledge of its divine nature. I keep it sacred and secret in the holy sanctuary of my being. When I do this, I can testify to what I have seen and to what I have heard. My words bear witness to the indwelling presence. Wise men still seek him. This evening, let us be counted among the wise. In the stillness of this moment, we quiet ourselves and we hear the angel's voice. For unto you a child is born. Let us make room for him in our hearts. Amen. Reggie will now lead us in singing one verse of Silent Night. On this holy night, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the love of God fill your hearts with joy in this Christmas season and throughout the coming year. Amen. Let us join Reggie in singing one verse of Joy to the World. Go in peace on this blessed Christmas Eve.